Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us today. Another episode, another week of the most scintillating hour in finance radio. But you know, we're flying solo. This week we don't have our resident millennial with us. Darren is not here, but my main man Jerry's working the board. He may not be the best in the biz. No offense, Jer. But he's a heck of a pinch hitter. He's a heck of a pinch hitter. So I think sky's the limit today, you know, because he'll surprise you. And he's not quite as low of a handicap as Darren when it comes to golf. See how I kind of weave that into the moral fabric of somebody, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's, are they a good guy? Well, they got a 6 handicap, you know, so they can't be all bad. Without further ado, let's get into it. We got a great show planned for you today. As always, going to start with the market update, roll through things. Quite honestly, not too exciting, just a lot of churn, but we're going to talk about that. We're going to address what's going on there. And we're also going to do a special about China. I've been meaning to do this, and we've done China shows before. As a matter of fact, we've done them with special guests. This is a little bit different, though. We're not going to focus so much on the economic side of it. We're going to focus on something extraordinarily troubling to me, and I have been blessed enough to have a forum to speak about these things, and quite honestly, I feel a bit irresponsible that we haven't addressed this, because it's something about China and the social fabric and what's going on there in the culture that is not being discussed enough. And I think we're all kind of more aware of it after the whole blow up with LeBron James and the GM down there at the Houston Rockets and the issues going on with Hong Kong. But I mean, that is the tip of the iceberg. And last week I said that I thought the interview that we did with Kevin Muir is something that everybody should listen to. And it is not full of a bunch of plugs to call us. That's not why I was saying it. I was saying it because it's got information. I've been doing this now for 13 years. I've worked on all sides of the business. I've worked at mutual fund companies, investment banks, broker dealers. I have a very different perspective, and I believe a much more complete perspective. Again, not bragging. I've done these different jobs on top of studying finance and economics in college. So the perspective I have from an average financial advisor is very different. Most financial advisors, that's what they've done. Right. And financial advising is not synonymous with investing. I think one of the biggest misconceptions we've got out there is that financial advisors, now there are exceptions, we're an exception, but that financial advisors are investors. They're not. Financial advisors are financial product salesmen. That's not meant as a slam. It's not to denigrate anybody. But as you guys can imagine, selling something and making something are two entirely different things. And the makers of something, the engineers of something, understand it at a different level than the guys selling. And that's true in any business. Right? You get a bakery salesman, right? He says he's out selling rolls and bread. Does he have the expertise or the knowledge about how to make? No, of course not, right? And so that's why I wanted to push people toward the Kevin Muir interview, because it's he and I talking about the truth about finance, the truth about stocks, the truth about investing, the actual inside scoop on what it, you know, on what's going on. And so I directed everybody to, you know, if there was ever an episode to send around to people to educate them about investing, that would be it. So today I'm going to say the exact same thing, but I'm not even going to say the entire radio show. I mean, do I think that you should listen to the, well, of course I do. Of course I do. No, but in all seriousness, this has nothing to do with driving clients to us. This has everything to do with educating people about atrocities currently going on in the world that, for whatever reason, I mean, we all know our media is completely defunct and crooked. So that's probably got something really big to do with it. Money also has something really big to do with it. But this is something that we, especially the listeners on this radio station, need to know more about. And we need to get the word out. So I'm going to take an entire segment that has nothing to do with driving business to us. It's simply relaying information about things going on in China that it is an absolute abomination to me that it's not being discussed at a wider level. And it's tragic. So we're going to talk about that. And we're not going to stay quite, you know, that heavy. We're going to talk about banking on yourself. We've addressed this before in the other parts of the show, but a lot of people have heard these ads about banking on yourself. I want to pull the mystery out of that and let you know exactly what that is and how it works. Okay? And once again, you know, we don't know everything about everything. Okay? I think the difference with us is if we don't know, I'm going to tell you I don't know. And most likely I'm going to go look it up because I hate not knowing, you know, things going on in our industry and you know, different things that are available to our clients and our prospective clients. Because in this world of record low interest rates, if you're not thinking outside the box, you are wrong, you've been wrong, and you're going to be wrong. As we say every week, the typical stock bond portfolio that you're paying somebody to manage for you, A, it is not going to do what you think it's going to do or what it did in the past. It's a structural issue. You're not going to make anywhere close to what you did on the bond side. Can't really speak for stocks, but I will say when stocks are at these valuations, it's typically not great. Now, if you don't believe me, I'd point you to the last 2 years. We've gotten nowhere. We're also going to talk about that. I thought we've addressed that thoroughly. It shocks me the amount of people out there that think we're still in a raging bull market. Now, we may be, but for the last 2 years, we have not been. Okay, so we're going to address that as well. The other thing that we're going to talk about is a little segment that my main man, the guy that everybody that listened to this show ever knows that I love, Jim Cramer. I'm just joking. Look, I've offered my Cramer disclaimers. My Cramer disclaimers. That's accidental poetry there, Jer. Yeah, we got to write that down. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so we're going to do a little segment, Are You Diversified? It's going to be a little bit of a different take. But there's just some shocking things that are going on in the world of investing. And unfortunately, I meet with prospective investors every day. And I have probably run into one or two in the last 6 months that were aware of this. It's just something you should be aware of, okay? So anyway, so that's going to be four different segments. Most important one of the day is the China one. The one that doesn't drive any business to us. It's got no promotional value, but it's a moral issue. It's a right versus wrong issue. And I think there are a lot of people on the wrong side of history on this one. And unfortunately, I think that's going to become more of a glaring issue as time goes on. So that's the most important one, but we got a bunch of other great topics to discuss. So let's get into the market update. You know, honestly, it's probably the last couple weeks have been some of the most boring. We've started off every show for the last, I don't know how many months going, man, this is crazy. What's going on? Look at this. Look at that. Watch the way this is moving. Look at the correlations between this and that. We just have this churn. And the interesting thing is it's that 3000 level on the S&P. Every time we touch it with decent breadth and volume and it looks good. And then we stall out every single time. And this has been true now for, well, we've been stuck in this tight range of about 3%, 3.5% now for, you know, all-time highs, I mean. So it's been a big range, right? We've dropped as much as 20% from the highs on the S&P, NASDAQ 28. Then we bounce back, but we cannot break through. Now, I think the reasons for that is that the petal is coming off the rose. The bloom is coming off the rose. Netflix, perfect example. You guys know, if you've listened to this show for a long time, I believe Netflix's all-time high is somewhere around $4.40 a share. It hit $4.40 a share. Actually, when it broke above $400 a share, we put out specific warnings on this show and said, look, we are not issuing trade recommendations. We don't do that. But we were using it as a poster child to say, guys, whoa, these things they've been, pretty crazy in terms of price for a long time. But there was this blow-off move in a lot of these high flyers that happened in 2018 that just didn't really make sense. Then Netflix comes out. They announce earnings that initially the market responded really good to. Which kind of puzzled me because I was reading the earnings and they didn't look that good to me. And the stock rallied. Then that rally pulled back hard the next day. And now Netflix today is getting thumped. And I think we're pushing up against new lows over the last 2 years in Netflix. So that was one we specifically warned you guys about. There's a lot more out there. And that's a concerning development. We haven't seen this sustain. And the puzzling thing to me, not puzzling, but the concerning thing to me is the relative calm at which these things are dropping. Now, they're getting hit hard in individual days, but you're not seeing these sharp bounce backs. Beyond Meat's another one. Zoom Technologies is another one. Shopify's another one. They got pretty violent days, but there's not this bounce back. And the reason that's concerning, guys, is these are stocks that have been driving markets, okay? The S&P 500 specifically. And the growth rates on these things are slowing down, right? The fundamentals are deteriorating. They're not bad. But remember, we're a company like Netflix that's producing virtually zero profit. You've got massive cash burns. You've got new streaming partners or new streaming competition coming out through Disney being the biggest, but there's several others. Is it NBC or ABC that's launching a streaming platform? And then Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, came out and said, look, we're probably going to have to cut prices. Well, if you're negative cash flowing and you got to cut prices, this is not a good setup, economically speaking. So we're not calling tops in markets. Nobody can time markets, not encouraging anybody to do that. But the underlying foundations that have underpinned the vast majority of this move, they are faltering and they're doing it right in front of your eyes. And I think it brings up a point that we're going to hit on harder in the Are You Diversified category, because this has been the bull market of passive investing. It really has. Everybody out there buys the S&P 500 ETF, see it in virtually every retail account I look at, or different sectors of the S&P 500 ETF that essentially gives them S&P 500 ETF performance, okay? And they think that's a complete portfolio, and we're going to ride it up, and we're going to stick with it during the down, all that. Look, if you don't know, I think you're on the verge of being ready to find out. That is not enough diversification in a portfolio. If, for instance, the vast majority of our clients have a mix. They've got some passive that's algorithmically managed, so we're not just riding. Yeah, that's the other thing I can't stand. When we're talking about people in retirement, when we're talking about people that need to survive on their assets, an advisor telling them just to ride the market up and down, that's not good enough. It's not. We got to have risk management and a strategy. Right, if you have another catastrophic market meltdown, now I'm not predicting it. Okay, but what I'm saying, is it possible? Yeah, of course it is. We've had two in the last 20 years. And that doesn't mean we'll have another one, doesn't mean we won't. But is it possible? Of course it is. I think it's highly likely at some point. It's 100% likely at some point, but I mean in the not too distant future. I mean, heck, this could be the beginning of it. But what you need is you need diversification isn't just about spreading it across a wide thing like the S&P 500. That's passive investing. You also need active investing. You need an active manager watching over the portfolio. We believe that you need both approaches. Okay? And because, and I'll back this up with history. There have been periods of times where active managers have, you know, not all of them, but have certainly outperformed the index for large periods of time. There's been periods of time like the last 10 years where the index has been the greatest play and every hedge fund manager is out there chasing it. But like everything in life, guys, it's cyclical. So when you're in 11 years into a cycle where the index has really run everything, it means you're probably close to a cycle shift. And that's something we got to keep an eye on. Only other interesting development, I would say, is the dollar. We've had a pullback in the dollar back below 98, which is kind of odd. But everything is just in a spin cycle now, and really nothing's changed. The only thing that I see really odd is how many clients out there and how many investors out there just think this is still a raging bull market. It's not. This is a look, even if we break higher right now, if we look at the last 2 years, this is a big consolidation zone. Doesn't mean the bull market's over, but it's not going on right now. And yet valuations are still at record highs. 8 out of 10 different metrics. Corporate debt levels. And yet this is the bulletproof attitude of investors. Just, man, the people have such short-term thinking. So as always, right, our style really reflects our outlook on this. And we think risk management's the key. And that's one of the frustrating parts is we can sit there and look at these portfolios that these clients have got and go, guys, wow, why don't we do this and this? If you're right, if you're right, Trump gets elected again, all these other things go right, and you think this market's going to rip for another 4.5 years, great. You're going to make more money. We're going to give you more exposure to the markets. So if the markets go great, you're going to be killing it. You're going to do better. Difference is if that doesn't happen, if Trump has to leave office or God forbid some of these other people get elected, right? The difference is it's not a life-changing event. And all the while, we can drastically lower your fees, typically between 40 to 50%. No transactional costs. So when we do trades for clients, it doesn't cost them a penny. And we're a fiduciary. There's just a better way. There's just a better way to do it. There's a better way to do it. It's funny. When we started on this show, I've taken a lot of flack, especially for our bond replacement program. Jerry, you know this. We started on this show. There was really nobody talking about this. When we started in 2012, nobody was talking about it. And I'm not pulling a Rush Limbaugh here or something and saying that we're the greatest thing in the world or, you know, we're the only ones that saw it, which we're not. But it's just amazing to me. Some of the same shows, some of the same advertisers, some of the same people that I heard call out our approach are now using it. So I guess that's a compliment, but it's just funny because I'm sitting there going, wait a second. You weren't saying that 2 years ago. So now you've switched horses midstream, huh? Okay. All right. Well, whatever. That's fine. Hey, and in truth be told, I'm glad they're doing it because it's better. It's a lot better than dealing with some of these other firms that are still out there telling people, oh, you know, don't use any insurance products in a portfolio. I know when we talk about insurance products or our bond replacement, I know there's people out there that turn the show off. Just don't be one. Look, be open to new developments because let me tell you what you're doing. Okay, if you're one of those people that won't listen to new approaches because your advisor or somebody convinced you they're horrible, maybe you listen to Ken Fisher beating up on annuities. There's a lot of bad annuities out there, guys. There's also some phenomenal ones if they're used correctly, okay? But if you're one of those people, educate yourself. Don't just live off somebody else's anecdotal opinion that happens to align with their business interest, right? For instance, Ken Fisher is purely a money management firm. He does not do anything. It's built around fees, okay? That's how they make 100% of their money. Do you think he's going to advocate something that lowers his income? Right? That goes against. The other thing is he's in for a penny, in for a pound, meaning he's been sitting here preaching against these products for years. You think he's going to sit there and go, I was wrong that whole time? Of course not. So if you want a better approach and you're open-minded to learning about new things and why we do it, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. You can go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You can download our bond replacement academic letter. You don't have to take it from me. Listen to Roger Ibbotson, who worked with Milton Friedman, University of Chicago, professor of finance at Yale, runs a $1 billion hedge fund. We did an hour-long interview with the guy on our bond replacement program. When it comes to academic and industry respect, if you think a guy like Ken Fisher's a bigger name, trust me, Roger Ibbotson's a bigger name. Okay, he wins in the theater of credibility. Okay, go read the research paper we've got from him on our website. You don't even call us. Just read the research paper. Educate yourselves. It's going to save you a lot of money and pain. And I'm a stock guy through and through, studied finance and economics. This was a hard thing for me to come to grips with. Growing up in my house, insurance was a four-letter word. But guess what? When growing up in my house, I could buy municipal bond portfolios that had AAA ratings that were paying 7% tax-free income. 8%. Those days are gone. And if you're still operating in the same fashion, you are exposed to massive risk. You're typically paying somewhere between 40 to 50% of your annual yield off your bond portfolio in the form of expenses. And if you own bond mutual funds, it's even more than that. And you're exposed to an unbelievable amount of interest rate risk, the likes of which the world has never seen. Meaning if rates go up, if you think interest rates are going up in the next 20 years, I mean, think about that, right? Lowest interest rates in 4,000 years. If you think they're going up, not only will you continue to make less than the inflation rate on your bonds, not only will your advisor continue to make more on your bonds than you do, and I'm not saying they all do, but I have seen several portfolios where that is the case. Okay? If you're not okay with that, then you got to figure out a different game plan. You got to think outside the box. So educate yourselves. So anyway, you can also follow us on Twitter at KYR Radio. And if you want some more information from us directly, this isn't a twist your arm weird kind of sales strategy or anything. Look, we're very simple. It's why we work with Dory. We're very simple, very streamlined. You can email in, we'll get you hooked up. We can ask for the free booklet. You can ask for a risk review. We'll just do a risk review and a report on your portfolio. If you don't want to do it in person, we can do it over the phone. You don't want to do it over the phone, we can do it over the email. Just educate yourself, guys. Just do it. There's a better way. Anyway, we got to run, but we'll be right back, and we're going to start off. This next segment is specifically on China, tying things up here. I got a little off, little off the beaten path. Got a little fired up out there. The bond portfolio. I digress. This bond, I got to tell you guys, this bond portfolio, it just sucks. I you look at it all the time, and if you were really a fiduciary, I don't even know if I'll get in trouble for saying this. Maybe I will, but it bottom line is, it's the truth, and people need to hear it. If you've got a bond portfolio sitting there, and that's your hedge against retirement, if your advisor was really a fiduciary, he'd put you in five-year CDs paying 3.2% a year, okay, that carry no default risk, no interest rate risk, and they're insured against loss. Your bond portfolio is not. Now, there's a much better way to go than the CD route that gives you way more upside and gives you the exact same level of risk, which is what our bond replacement strategy is. But what I'm telling you is, if you want to know who to trust, go look at the last 8 years of your bond portfolio, net of fees, and tell me if it's done better than 3.2%. If it has, then disregard everything I'm saying to you. If it hasn't, ask yourself why. Ask yourself why you're paying 1.5% for an investment that's yielding 3%. So you're getting 1.5. When you can go get a CD, and I'll tell you the reason why. If you buy a CD, your advisor can't charge you fees on it. And I'm not saying it's nefarious. The banks have told us this is how you build portfolios. These guys, gets back to my salesman thing. They're just selling what the banks are telling them to. They're just selling what the firms are telling them to. They're not bad guys. But they're not investment managers. Anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK, and 866-779-RISK. I've gone way over as always, but we'll be right back to get into our China discussion. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Brian Ott from 525 Advisors and host of Long Term Care Radio. And Brian, we have another great question from a listener. What happens if I don't use my long-term care insurance?
You know, Dory, nobody likes to pay for something they don't use. In the past, if you never used your long-term care insurance, the premiums you paid were simply gone, just like homeowners or car insurance. But you know what? Things have changed. We now have new programs that will pay you back even if you don't use them for long-term care. You can find out about all the new programs, including ones that pay you back, at 525longtermcare.com. While you are there, you can send us your question and even sign up for a free class. And don't forget to join us every Saturday morning on Cairo for Long-Term Care Radio.
Brian has a long-term care planning class coming up Saturday, November 16th. Seating is limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. Classes are free. You'll even get a copy of Brian's book, which has a ton of great info. Go to 525longtermcare.com. Hey, Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. All too often, investors are solely focused on gains and are not focused on loss prevention. At Bulwark Capital, is that something you guys are laser focused on?
We sure are, Dory, and here's why. A 20% loss requires a 25% gain just to get back to even, but a 50% loss requires a 100% gain to get back to even. And that's why all of our portfolios are designed to mitigate the possibility of a catastrophic loss that could threaten the quality of your retirement.
Do you know if your investment strategies for retirement are set up to minimize the chance of a catastrophic loss? Get a hold of Zach at Bulwark Capital, 866-779-RISK. He'll send you a brand new copy of Common Sense Investing, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement in place or the firm's license to conduct business. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And welcome back, and thank you so much for sticking with us. So this segment is really the non-promotional part of the segment. I really hope our whole show is non-promotional. I don't think it is. Really just trying to deliver value and information. But this is a little bit different. I guess in the macro sense, there's some tie-ins on the economic side, especially considering the trade war. This is more of a humanitarian thing. And the thing that bothers me and the thing that that really prompted me to dedicate this segment to what's going on in China on a cultural level was the issue that happened, was it earlier this week? Yeah. With the LeBron James tweets about China and was it Derek Morey? Was that his name? Daryl Morey, yeah. And the resident millennial was back at the helm. We're in good hands again. I'm just kidding. Jerry's great, but you know, Darren's our guy. But anyway, and it was just one of those moments of moral clarity where you sat there and went, wait a second. You just do a one-hour finance show every weekend. But it's a much bigger loudspeaker than most people have. And if I'm not even dedicating 10 to 15 minutes to this, I'm not doing my job as a human being. And the media, surprise, surprise, the mainstream media isn't covering this story. And I think it's more important than the trade war. And this is the segment where I think that this is what you need to send around. And if you're done listening to the show and you want this segment, which I, again, not to promote me, right? I want to make that very clear, but to educate people on what's going on. I think you guys know that we've been focused on China for a long time. We're talking to, you know, researchers on the ground in China, you know, through some of our research relationships, we've gotten to know people that are, you know, on the ground in China, that live in Hong Kong, you know, that are much closer to what's going on. And this information that we're going to share with you is backed up by the United Nations as well. So this isn't conspiratorial, okay? The conspiratorial aspect of this story is the suppression of the story. And it's like I said, there was a moment of moral clarity where I sat there and I went, I need to be a voice against this. And I need to enable everybody that hears this show to be a voice against this. Because what I will not do is I will not sit back and be a Neville Chamberlain or you know, all of these people, you know, the Neville Chamberlain-like people in World War II that made excuses for Nazi Germany. You know, these appeasers. We can't do it. We got to yell from the rooftops what the truth is. And you know, I don't want to get into a cultural argument here, but that is the truth is something that has just been lost, right? The truth is not subjective. Right? One of the things I hate the most is speak your truth, right? We used to call that an opinion because you know, the truth is neither for now. People have different versions of it, but the truth of what's going on is not subjective. It simply is. And I you know, it's something that is sorely missing from society today. So without further ado, let me get into it. Now, like I said, if you're going to share this, which again, I strongly encourage it, not promoting us, but we need to get the word out. You can download the show from mynorthwest.com. You can Google Know Your Risk Radio Stitcher. We're on Stitcher. Just Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast and it'll come up. Okay. We're on a bunch of different podcasts. There's tons of these podcast sites all over the place. And you can download it there and you can email people. So anyway, let's getting into it. There's a group of people, and I'm not a cultural specialist of China, okay? But there's a group of people that I believe are a form of it's a Muslim undertoned, you know, a Muslim adhering culture. Very small percentage of the population in China that are called Uyghurs or Uyghurs, different pronunciations. I don't speak Mandarin, so I can't tell you which one is correct. And there's several of these lower classes that have some type of religious tie-in. And you can imagine in communist China, why the most despondent or the most, you know, oppressed or the smallest, you know, most secluded and, you know, like I said, oppressed is probably the best way to say it. They typically, those strands of culture, maybe they used to be tribes, why they tend to have a religious affiliation, because, you know, religion has been crushed there for the last, you know, certainly under Mao's time. It's probably been better a little bit over the last 20 years as they liberalized the economy, but it's taken a decided turn for the worse in the last 5 to 6 years, typically with the rise of Xi Jinping, who from all inferences, and obviously I've never talked to him, he's president of China, but from all inferences, there's a respect, there's a He's the most Maoist leader of China that we've seen at any time since Mao. And a matter of fact, he's the first leader since Mao to have a lifetime appointment. They recently did a military parade and Xi Jinping sticking out the top of this car, and he's literally dressed exactly like Mao. The guy idolizes Mao Zedong. I mean, my hero is a guy that killed between 30 to 40 million people. Such is the life we live in today. Anyway. So you have these oppressed, small, detached parts of the culture that typically have a religious affiliation because religion's been squashed. Well, those people, specifically the Uyghurs or Uyghurs, have been the Communist Party has decided that they are the undesirables. Okay, so now you can see footage of this. This is known. What they're doing with these people is they are rounding them up. based off religious grounds for the most part. And they are putting them in a province in an area of China called Xinjiang. It's X-I-N-J-A-I-N-G, okay? Pronunciation, I could have just butchered it, probably did. But you can look it up. Now, Xinjiang is an interesting area in China because ever since they started doing this, ever since they started sending these people to the quote-unquote re-education camps, does that sound familiar to you? Re-education camps. They're going to straighten them out. It's all good intentions, of course, right? Ever since this started happening, China's taken great pains to sequester this area and make it virtually impossible to get in. As a matter of fact, several different new... And so to be fair to the mainstream media, again, I think it's a story. We know enough to tell the story, but to be fair to the media, China has made it impossible to get there. I mean, they've got it locked down. But they're sending these religious dissidents there under the guise of re-education camps. Okay, so now flip over. China, interestingly enough, has become a hot spot around the globe for organ transplants. Okay, this is where it gets a bit macabre, but I'm just giving you the facts. And that shouldn't be news to anybody, right? Because of the soaring costs of medical treatments in the West, it has given birth to something that we call medical tourism. And China's become a big landing place for this. And you go in there and you get your test done and they can hook you up with a new heart. Go to Shanghai for a week or two or whatever and come home with a new heart. New lungs, whatever you need. Now, those two things, you got 1.5 billion people. Obviously, you're going to have, bigger population, you're going to have more access to organ transplants. More people die, right? Especially since you've got a much higher rate of poverty in China than you do in any Western civilization. So, on the face of it, it makes sense. Well, a few years back, an Israeli doctor was working with his client, his patient, who had a congenital heart failure of some kind. I'm not sure exactly what it was. And they couldn't find a donor. And so the guy goes and he looks into this medical tourism to China and he schedules it all, gets it all scheduled up and goes and tells his doctor, I'm going to go get a heart transplant from China. And I got to leave on such and such a date. And we got the operation scheduled for this time. Doctor goes, well, hold on a second. You've got it scheduled. So think about this. When we do organ transplants of any kind, and hopefully none of you have been around that because it's tragic and it's sad, and if you have been around it, hopefully it worked out. But you get on an organ donor waiting list, a donor waiting list, because you got to wait till one's available. How is it that you can call up China in the course of a month and schedule an appointment? That's pretty amazing, right? So what this doctor did is he started going, wait a second, this, how, what? So he started digging into it and he came back with his findings and he was appalled at what he found. And what he found was the organs were being harvested from the people that were in the political internment camps, the re-education camps, while those people were living. Now, obviously, they didn't keep living after this happened, but they were sequestering these people in the quote-unquote re-education camps, and it was an organ harvesting farm. He took his findings to the state of Israel, and Israel has now outlawed medical tourism traveling from their country to China. They're the only ones in the world that have done it. Now, why is that? It's kind of big news. Have we seen it anywhere on the news? And this has been told, it's like a cultural misunderstanding. Oh, we got to give China a break, right? We got to give China a break. Yeah, it's a cultural issue. This is something that they can handle. Oh, it's in there. Well, now we know that population that started off about 1 million people being rounded up, it's now climbed to 3 million. Those are estimates from the United Nations. They also have seen that through satellite imagery, up there in Xinjiang, right where they're keeping these 3 million people. I mean, think of the size of that. That's bigger than Seattle, isn't it? They've built a massive crematorium. You guys, there is a modern Auschwitz in Xinjiang, China, right now as we speak, and it's being used as a for-profit center. It's an organ harvesting farm for all the undesirables in their culture. You ask anybody who's the greatest enemy, who's the greatest villain of the 20th century, it's Hitler, killed 6 million Jews. They got 3 million in internment camps right now in Xinjiang, the numbers climbing daily, and they're harvesting organs from these people. It's an absolute atrocity. And here's the worst part. You know why? And look, go dig around. The evidence is out there. We're not the only ones that know this. This isn't something we've made up. But you don't want to know why no one's really talking about it? Because China's not dumb. Okay, we've talked about their massive debt buildups. Look at all the celebrity endorsement deals they cut. They're coming after our culture. They're trying to turn people. They're trying to convince everybody they're okay. China has zero interest in being friends with us. And again, this is not a critique of the Chinese people. We are talking about the evil, dictatorial Chinese Communist Party, period. As a matter of fact, I think the average Chinese person doesn't like them. Right? They want to be Westerners. But we've got to open our eyes to what's going on and what the Chinese Communist Party or the CCP is doing. Is they're buying people off. They're saying if you want to distribute your goods in your country, you can't say anything bad about us. Think about this. And if you don't believe me, look at what just happened to the GM of the Houston Rockets. He put up one tweet. Stand with the protesters. China almost canceled NBA basketball games. Why do you think they're so sensitive? Right? Why is there a push? If they've got nothing to hide, they wouldn't care. Oh, yeah, we let our people protest. They got to control the narrative. And the way they do that is through our greed. They buy it. With funny money, but they buy it. If you want to distribute goods in our country, you better not say one nasty word. The NBA players over there, they're sitting there watching them strip off the posters of the NBA games off the building because a guy said, stand with the protesters. That's all he said. Does that kind of seem like a disproportionate response? Canceling endorsement deals, all this massive money lost from the NBA because a guy said, stand with the protesters. That's it. This is so much more than a trade war. This is a communist regime bent on global domination. And if you're not with them, you're against them. And they are going to try, you know, through subterfuge, through bribery, they're going to try to buy their way out of it. They're going to buy silence. And there are so many elites in this country that have bought it because their greed has blinded them. If you want to know how the world set back and let the Holocaust happen, look what's going on in China right now. 3 million people and climbing every day. You think that's a regime that we can trust in a trade deal? They're ripping organs out of their own citizens. It's just the most grotesque thing. And then I think the most tragic part of it is that it's our greed that's blinding us. It's our need to access their population growth. And you don't think the Chinese have realized that? They looked at us and said, hey, we can't take them on militarily, but America, man, we can buy them. They're greedy. We'll buy the celebrities. We'll never let them see really what's going on. We'll only take them to the nice parts. Won't let anybody into Xinjiang so they can discover the atrocities going on there. And anytime somebody says anything negative about us, we're going to call it racism. They know how our culture works. They know the weak spots of capitalism because they're trying to destroy it. This is a story that the world must know. And I, for one, am not going to sit back. I'm not going to sit back and stay quiet about it. Or even use, you know, a way that I could stay quiet about it is not using a segment on the show to discuss it, right? It's got no promotional value for our firm. But it's information that people need to hear. You need to know that this is going on right now. And if you want to know how the world sits back and lets a Holocaust happen, you got a front row seat to it right here. All of us need to make noise. All of us need to tell people in our families, our friends, this needs to get out. Because surprise, surprise, the mainstream media isn't doing their job. I know that may come as a shock to all of you. But it doesn't stop us from speaking up. We got to quit being the silent majority. And it starts with me. It starts with you. But I, for one, will not sit back and have my children and grandchildren ask me, Dad, why didn't you say anything? Were you against them? Did you stand up and say something? Not going to do it. It's got to be something that's addressed. We got to start talking about it, and we need to get the word out. We got 3 million people. Yeah, maybe they're not part of our... Hey, they're part of the human race. They're part of God's creatures. They're God's children, too. It's just disgusting to me. Anyway, okay, so we're going to move into finance. I just want to take that segment to educate you guys on what is really going on. And we're going to dig in it deeper. We're working on an entire show where it's not going to be promotional. We're going to address this with some Chinese experts who I know that can give us harder details. We're working on that right now. At some point in the next month, we're going to get that going. But just wanted to start there with that segment and just give you an idea of what's happening. So anyway, stick with us. We'll be right back. We're going to get to some of the other stuff that we talked about. We're going to talk on the bank on yourself. We're also going to talk about are you diversified and what we think that should really mean. It's not just about owning different stocks. It's about owning different styles of the way that those assets are managed. So anyway, stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
One of the biggest mistakes you can make heading into retirement is not planning for the high costs of an extended healthcare situation. A lot of people assume they have enough money saved only to watch everything they've worked hard for get whittled down to nothing from the ongoing costs of a long-term care situation. Do not make this mistake. By putting a long-term care plan in place, you guarantee yourself a source of funds to pay for care when needed, and you also know you won't become a burden on your family. Do what my wife and I did. Go learn about the all-new long-term care plans offered by 525 Advisors. These new plans protect your savings, protect your family, and pay you back if you never use them. Learn more by attending one of the upcoming classes taught by Brian Ott, who's host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo. Brian has a long-term care planning class coming up Saturday, November 16th. Seating is limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. It's a free class. You'll get a copy of Brian's book, too. 525longtermcare.com. Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, I know Bulwark Capital's built on risk management. Explain that to me.
Most advisors are trying to do the right thing by increasing their clients' allocation to bonds as they get older. But thanks to record low rates, a lot of investors have paid more in fees over the past 8 years than they've actually made in their bond portfolios.
Well, that math just doesn't add up.
Dory, that's where our bond replacement strategy comes in. It goes up with a rising stock market, yet it's insured against loss in a falling market while not having any management fees.
And Zach has all these strategies in his brand new version of Common Sense Investing. Give him a call. Get your free copy. Call 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK. Or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement in place where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back. We had to condense it down a little bit to get that China segment in. But anyway, let's address the last couple things. We'll put them into one segment here. If you've heard the comments about bank on yourself, okay, how we can convert IRA money to tax-free money, to bank on yourself, you borrow against it, never pay any fees, does that exist? We've talked about this on the show before. Like most things, guys, the answer is sort of, okay? What they're talking about when we get to the bank on yourself stuff is they're talking about a product called an Index Universal Life Policy. Now, what an Index Universal Life Policy is, the underlying investment, as opposed to being dividends from a mutual insurance company, which is the basic structure of which whole life is structured, right? The returns from the Index Universal Life Policy are just like the fixed indexed annuity products we use as a bond replacement. They derive their returns from the stock market. You get a participation rate in the stock market, which is typically much higher than a fixed indexed annuity. So you can get as much as 85, 90, I've even seen 95% of the S&P, and yet you're insured against loss. Sounds amazing. Okay, but what they don't tell you is inside that product, and it's front-loaded, but inside that product, you're laid down by the fees of insurance. So when we look at these products over, 10, 20-year periods of time, assuming you own them that long, you're looking at something that's insured against loss, net of fees, maybe somewhere in the 5 to 7% range. I'm not quoting. These are just averages. Now, the intriguing thing about these products is, 5 to 7% with an insurance against loss, it's pretty attractive, right? It goes right along with the fixed index annuities. And I'm not saying all of these products do that. I'm not saying all Index Universal Life products do it. Dude, this is not a recommendation. As a matter of fact, the majority of people we meet with would not benefit from an Index Universal Life policy. But they can be incredible estate planning tools. And where we think they're valuable is, again, as part of bond money in the right circumstances. And why do we say that? Anytime we're comparing assets, you guys, anytime we're looking at things, we've got to compare ups and downs to both. And one of the thoughts, one of the things that we first thought of when we said, okay, we got to find a bond replacement strategy. What if it doesn't work as well as we think? What are we missing out on? Well, go look at your bond portfolios. You wouldn't have been missing out on much, right? So what we can make on the bond portfolio has a big role to play in what we replace it with. Because if we could still get a municipal bond fund paying a 6.5%, we wouldn't be having this discussion. You're much better off getting 6.5% tax-free. Okay, but you can't get that. And so we've got these basically dead assets sitting in client portfolios that we can deploy in ways where they're actually making more money, they're costing us less in fees, and they're adding new features and new types of things to our entire investment portfolio. But an Index Universal Life policy, for those of you who think that that's attractive, remember, the vast majority of people you're going to talk to about that are insurance salesmen, okay? And when you're an insurance salesman, and this is not a knock on them, but they sell insurance. So if you want an investment, what do you think they're going to offer you? So what we see is people going in and that don't need an Index Universal Life policy, that don't have a big enough portfolio for an Index Universal Life policy, buying it, paying a bunch of fees, and then deciding it's horrible 5 years into it or 4 years into it because they didn't understand it properly. And they hate it. That's where a lot of the bad press comes. Same thing on the fixed indexed annuity side. The number one reason why people buy fixed indexed annuities is somebody convinces them the stock market's going to crash. They convert all their money into the fixed indexed annuity, and they do that in a year like 2012. The next year, the stock market's up 31%, and the fixed indexed annuity had a 3% cap on it. And the client's sitting there going, this thing's trash. Well, in that scenario, it is. Same with the index universal life policy. And this is one of the reasons we say, listen, if you're a client out there with a typical stock bond portfolio, the overwhelming chances are, especially if you're over the age of 55, that that adding an insurance product in some way, if it's the right one, right, guys, selection, we're talking about such a big unit. That's why I hate it when people say annuities are great or annuities are bad. That's like saying dogs are big, right? Like, what are we talking about? What's the role it's playing? What do you need it to do? If we're talking about bond replacements and you're over the age of 55 or 50 in some cases, depending on your proximity retirement, guys, they can be absolute godsends. We're a fiduciary. Remember, we got no dog in the fight. We're not an insurance agency. That's not the main part of our business. But we're using these things because we've got these dead assets sitting over here called bonds that have done worse than CDs. And that's even before fees. And if we can stick it in these insurance portfolios that have tax advantage, that's because that's the other thing. Those index universal life policies, you can borrow against them gains and principal. Now, it usually takes 5 to 6 years before you're money positive because they are front loaded with fees. And like I said, they're not right for everybody. They're not right for most people. But in the right circumstances, especially for estate planning purposes, they can be godsends. And all the while, they're making more than the bond portfolio. If you're in the right one, again, not guaranteed. It totally depends. But what I'm telling you is that when we're in this low interest rate environment, we've got to start looking at other alternatives. You got to broaden your scope. You got to think outside the box. And like I said, if you think, oh, this guy's just trying to peddle these things or whatever, go look at 1968 to 1984. You owned a bond portfolio, you got slaughtered. Guys, that is 16 years. That's a big chunk of your retirement time. And I don't even think we're going to have time to get to the Are You Diversified segment. So we're going to have to do that next week. But on this insurance side, guys, if you're sitting there and I've said it over and over again, but I'm going to keep pounding the table. If you're sitting there with the typical stock bond portfolio, go look at your performance. Go look at the fee you're paying. You've got the evidence sitting right in front of you. Go look at alternatives. Educate yourselves. And we've actually got a workshop coming up November 16th. We're still working out the location. But if you're interested in coming to that workshop where we'll talk about this stuff, shoot us an email. We'll get you on the list early. We do have limited space. That's no joke. It's not a marketing ploy, but there is limited space. But anyway, there are so many other interesting things that we can do to add protection, lower cost, increase performance over the typical stock bond portfolio. Then we've got the risk managed stock portfolios that we're using that greatly mitigate the risk of a big loss on the stock side. But all the while, we're increasing the upside and lowering the cost, guys. You got to look into alternatives. This is the only time in the world that the interest rate complexes look like this. And if you want that information, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to knowyourriskradio.com. Go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Call us, set up a free consultation. We can talk to you about this over the phone. We can do it in person. You can get our Common Sense Investing booklet. Get the Roger Ibbotson research paper about the bond replacement strategy. Just get the information. Arm yourselves with the truth, you guys. Anyway, we got to run. Hope you enjoyed this show. We'll be back next week. Like I said, shoot us an email. Sign up for the conference we got coming up. Location will be released this week. You'll hear the ads. Until then, go Hawks, go Dogs. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.